Read a couple of verses of scripture there, Matthew chapter number 13. And I trust that the Lord will bless His word today to our heart and encourage each one of us. I know most of you are tired, and I'll try not to hold you too long because I'm tired myself. But I'd appreciate your prayers here this morning. I had to put up with Joe Arthur again last night. And he was typical Joe again last evening, and I like it that way. But couldn't get everybody in the church where Joe hit the building last night. Couldn't get everybody in. And God is really, really blessing that ministry, and I thank God for it. And we had a wonderful time. And I missed being here Thursday and Friday. I wish I could have been here, but the Lord blessed there. Saw one saved Thursday night in service, and that's always a blessing, always an encouragement to me. And I'm just glad for the opportunity. Somebody said, when are you going to retire? Well, I've already bought 8 new ones. Some of you will get it maybe in a minute. There's 8 tires on that bus. And we've just retired. Amen. I don't plan on retiring. Retirement for those that are called and chosen of God to work for Him is out of this world. Amen. There is no place to retire. Until a trumpet sounds and a voice rings out with a shout. There's nowhere to lay it down. There's nowhere to give up. There's nowhere to quit. We just keep pressing on. We do what God would have us to do, and we do it because we love Him. Amen. I hope we learned that last week. Matthew chapter 13. I want to begin reading verse number 45. There the Word of God says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Father, I pray now that you would touch us with the Spirit of God, breathe on us. Holy Ghost, we pray. Make us to be usable in thy service. Oh God, we'd love to see somebody saved today. We'd love to see somebody encouraged. I pray, dear Father, that you'd have your will and way. May the Word of God find lodging place in hearts and lives and stirring in our souls today and make it be glad to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd have your will and way, and what you do, we'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask it all in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Probably somewhere along the way, all of us have heard this scripture being preached or quoted or read that Jesus is the pearl of great price. I've heard that most all of my life. When I began to read these verses and think about it, I began to read some commentaries that talked about Jesus being the pearl of great price. And they went into great detail with long flowering words that could make a good argument for that fact, but the more I read it and the more I studied it, I could not get that from these verses. You see, we all know that there is absolutely no way of estimating the value that can be placed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no way of accounting for a measure for His greatness, His goodness, His grace, His love, and His mercy. There's no way that He was the pearl of great price when there's no amount that could buy Him or purchase Him. And in the first place, He's not for sale. He never has been for sale. Old-time religion that comes in knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is not for sale, but it is the free gift of God to whosoever shall receive it. He is valued so highly, so greatly, that He left glory and the glory world to come down here to this lowland of sin and suffering to purchase for Himself a pearl of great price. He who owned everything came and gave himself as a ransom for whosoever would call upon his name, believe, and receive the gift that he has for them. The great price that he paid was he paid it in his own precious blood. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." The pearl of great price is us. We who are redeemed, we have been purchased, we've been bought by the blood of the Lamb of God. The merchant man of glory came to where we were, and he came and he ransomed us out of the sin that we were under and paid our sin debt that we might be heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, y'all can sit there if you want to. I can have a spell all by myself. I'm feeling better all over right now than anywhere else. The merchant man of glory, the only begotten Son of God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, condescended and came and wrapped himself in flesh and walked among men that we might see and know the glory of God that he had before the world was ever put into place. As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, he condescended to become a man such as we are, yet without sin, to bring into existence a kingdom that we know today as the Church of the Living God, or the Family of God, which is a group of born again believers, children of God, heirs of God, children of God that are part of this wonderful organism that is called the Church. To him be glory in the Church, world without end. The Bible makes it plain that if there's going to be any glory given unto God, it's going to come through the Church, the children of God who've been bought and purchased by the merchant man of glory. This merchant man, Jesus, sought us and bought us with so great a price that even whosoever will can still get in on it. Now, that's pretty good, whether you agree with it or not. Even so great a price, so great a price was paid that even the whosoever's might get in on it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a whosoever today. I'm glad to be one of those, as the song was sung last week. I'm glad to be one of them that have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. I'm glad to be a whosoever today. A whosoever will is still available to come under the water of life and drink freely. The plan, the purchase of God was made long time before the mud seals of this world were ever settled in place. There has never been another plan for the redemption of mankind of the whosoever's except plan Jesus, the merchant man who was coming to buy us and purchase us and ransom us off of the slave market of sin. Hallelujah to his name. The word here calls us one pearl of great price. But considering the suffering and the shame and the agony that our Lord went through to pay the price of our sin debt, great seems to be to me to come far short of saying it all. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how marvelous is my Savior's love for me. Beyond my imagination, beyond my comprehension, beyond what I can take in is his everlasting love for even a wretch like me that deserved nothing but hell. But he didn't give me what I deserve. Whoop, glory to God. He came and made me a part of the family of God and purchased me, though I was totally worthless, hopeless, and helpless. He came to where I was and found me and put me in his hands and lifted me up, established my goings in him. Considering this pearl he purchased, I got three short questions one short question I want to ask you and then try to get finished up. Considering this price and the purchase that he made, what kind of pearl are you? Amen. Some of you hadn't smiled yet. What kind of pearl are you? What did he get when he purchased you? Can you remember where he found you? Can you remember the murk and the mire that you were in when he came to where you were and sought you out and offered you, illuminated your heart, and illuminated your mind, illuminated your spirit that you might see yourself in the condition that you were in, lost and undone without God, on your way to hell without any hope whatsoever? Three kinds of pearls. Now, there are more than that, but just three is all I want to deal with. Number one is a fake pearl. A fake pearl. They're the cheapest kind. They don't cost you much. Usually they're made out of plastic. Sometimes they're made out of porcelain. But they're all fakes. They're not real. They're hypocrites. I can't help but now. They can look really good at times, but they're almost worthless. They're not real. They're slick. They're in style. They're part of the in crowd, but yet not ever in. Self-righteous, never doing anything wrong, but always seeing the wrong in others. Always wanting their way. Amen. Or oh me. Willing to change almost anything that is of the old time way that they might become the one that has the idea that becomes the standard for everybody else to go by. Amen. All those that are trying to change the Bible, the inerrant, infallible, and inexhaustible Word of God, come up with something else that makes them feel better about themselves, or that worthless kind of pearl that is all the time making an idea and coming up with something to pat themselves on the back that they'll look good while everybody else doesn't look so good. Oh, me. Willing to change all the old standards and all the old things that have stood that they might be the ones that others are measured by. Or they might be those that are never willing to change anything, so that things are done just like grandma would do them, even if they were wrong. I pastored a Baptist church long enough that I heard these words till I got sick of them. Preacher, we've never done it that way before. Amen. I finally got to the place I said, have you ever thought that the way you've been doing it has not been right? Could it be that we've set so many standards and we've set so many things along the way that we're a part of our own thinking or our own feeling or our own judgment that God didn't have anything to do with, that we've lost the mark somewhere along the way? Israel did. God came and wrote 10 commandments down on 2 tablets of stone, but by the time they got it all wrote together, there were 613 commandments written down. Amen. A lot of folks are straining at a gnat trying to swallow a camel, trying to keep things the way they thought they ought to be. They get upset when somebody moves a flower pot. Amen. I remember preaching in a little country church years ago, and my pastor was over there with me, and I got to the pulpit, and the pastor was showing us about the new pews and the things that were they were proud of in the church, and we got up to the pulpit, and I noticed these marks across behind the pulpit, and I thought, how did that happen? I said, what meaneth these marks on the floor? He said, preacher, well, we've got these two families in the church. And one of them believes and wants the piano on one side and the organ on the other side. And so the other family wants the piano and the organ sitting side by side every service. So every other week we drag that thing across. Amen. Oh me. What kind of pearl are you? Never willing to change anything so that things are done, even if they're wrong today. And by the way, that fake pearl gives more trouble in the church than any other kind of pearl. Causes more confusion, causes more heartache, sows more discord among the brethren than any other kind of pearl that's come along. Some of you not liking that, so I'll go on to something else. The second kind of pearl is a cultured pearl. Now, cultured pearl, we find it's real. It's come through part of the same process that all the real pearls have had to go through. Yet these cultured pearls have somehow been maneuvered or been tampered with or been manipulated by the ideals and the ideas of somebody along the way. When the supply of natural pearls was almost depleted in the early 1800s, there were some rich, learned men with great intelligence and great ingenuity that decided that they would come up with a way to flood the market with a cultured pearl. Knowledge is a wonderful thing, and all of us need more of it than we have until it gets us. Amen. Then we begin to think of ourselves able to do whatever we need to, whether God's around or not. Amen. The cultured pearls have come up with so many programs and so many isms and so many schisms that we've come to a church that is dead and dry and knows nothing about the power of God, and most of our people are being raised that never know anything about old-time power and old-time Holy Ghost movement in the church, and we've got so good at it that we think we can do it without God. Amen. Some of you are not going to like this, I can already tell. But I'm not too worried about it. I'm too near home to try to change things now. Preaching today is not supposed to pat us on the back and tell us how pretty and how wonderful we are. Amen. Old time preaching that I was raised on tried to get us to flee the wrath to come, to get not only free from the penalty of sin, but get free from the power of sin that would cause us to be cultured pearls, who would go along with the in crowd, who would go along with those that are marked by society as being the ones to follow. We begin to think of ourselves to be able to do it without God's help. But the Bible still says, you must be born again. When you're born again, you still must depend on the Lord and depend on the Word of God to be able to discern what is right, what is good, what is evil, what is wrong. If you're going to have convictions, have some that come from the Word of God. Amen. It does not matter how you feel or how you think about something. I heard way too many times, well, I just don't agree with that. That's not the way I feel about it. God's not concerned about how you feel about it. It's what He knows about it. And what He's already settled and what He's already established about it that makes the difference. He's not concerned about what you think, because He's already thought it out. And the final answer has already been given. It's forever settled in heaven. And what you think about it or how you feel about it is not going to change it. Amen. Truth and conviction and standards have to be placed upon the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Cultured pearls are real. They've been saved by the grace of God. But when they come to a place where they don't want to do it God's way anymore, but they want to let in whosoever will and let in whatsoever will come. Amen. being politically correct. Being politically correct today means you can't mention the name of Jesus because he's not political standard anymore. But according to this blessed book, he is the standard. He is the inerrant, infallible Word of God that came down to this earth to pay sin's debt for all of us whosoever's. And it's time we got over ourselves and loved him supremely and did what he would have us to do, the way he would have us to do it. I get amazed sometimes, preacher. I thank God for folks that are calling and wanting me to come preach in their church, wanting me to come preach meeting in their church. I appreciate the invitation, and be honest with you, I'll go about anywhere as long as they don't tell me what I can preach and what I can't. Amen. And sometimes, though, I get these calls from fellas that'll say, I want you to come preach. God's laid you on my heart and you've been on my mind, and I want you to come. You're the man for the hour. I want you to come preach as long as you'll come the second week in July or the first week in September or the middle week in April. Amen. And when I look at my schedule and say, I'm sorry, brother, I just can't do that, or my wife will look at him and say, I'm sorry, we just can't do that, he's already booked. Well, I guess we'll just have to get somebody else. What happened to the fact that I was the man for the hour? I became not the man for the hour when I was already booked on the time that they had set they had to have their revival meeting. Then who's in charge? Amen. Cultured Pearls got in charge. I've had them to call and say, preacher, I'd love to have you to come preach in our church, but I got to talk to my deacons about it first and see if they'll agree to it. Amen. Then who's in charge? Cultured Pearls seem to always know how. Somebody else is supposed to be able to live. Somebody else is supposed to minister. Somebody else is supposed to serve, as long as they don't have to do it. Amen. Everything is supposed to be done their way on their terms. But what the church needs today is more pearls who know the Word and the will of God and are filled with the Holy Ghost of God, doing the work of God as He would have it to be done. Following the under-shepherd that God has blessed and brought to the church that they might be able to follow Him as He follows God. Amen. Amen. And then we come finally, and some of you say, thank God, to natural pearls, genuine, made through the process of suffering and sacrifice. Most of you know how pearls come into existence. An oyster down at the bottom of the sea, down at the bottom of the ocean. Grains of sand, piece of contaminant of some kind, gets into that oyster shell and it begins to irritate. And it begins to cause a problem. And it begins to cause agony and pain for that oyster. And the oyster begins to secrete a fluid that makes a covering to take, glory to God, to take away the pain, to take away the suffering, to take away the irritation, to take away the condemnation that has come against it. It secretes that, and a pearl is formed inside of that oyster shell. I remember several years ago, and I'm closing with this, I remember several years ago, we had the privilege to go to Hawaii, have plans to go back. We had the privilege to go to Hawaii, and we went to this pavilion where there were some divers that were on a little platform out about 50, 60 yards out away from us. And they would dive off of that platform down into the water, down to the bottom, and they would come up with an oyster. And when they got it back up to the top, somebody would open it up, and there would be a pearl inside that little shell. I remember the day. And I remember the hour when the merchant man of glory dove off the glory scene down into the murky, miry waters of sin. And he went all the way down and past the bottom for me. And he reached down into the muck and the mire and the pit that I was in. And he grabbed hold of me by his own hand. And he brought me out of that sin. And he brought me out of that water. And he put me up. And he opened up the shell. And he put a pearl on display for the glory of God. When he saved my wretched soul. When he brought me up out of there and put me in grace wherein I can stand. Amen. The merchant man of glory bought and paid for my soul with his own blood on Calvary. Paid sin's debt. Established my goings in him. Set me on a solid rock. The eternal rock of ages. And his... And has told me that one day downtown Glory Boulevard and Hallelujah Square, he's going to put me on display for all the angels of glory to stand at attention and watch as I gleam passing by. Without spot, without wrinkle, without glory, hallelujah, without any sin, without any muck, without any mire, without any of the things of this world to contaminate, clean, pure. As he is, so shall we be. I'm glad he comes by every now and then and touches us with the Holy Ghost of God to polish us up a little. Amen. So that somebody else might get a glimpse of his handiwork, of what he's done. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. He has become our all, and in all, he is our everything. There's an old adage that says, men are like wine. Some turn to vinegar, and some get better with age. Vinegar is a man-made product that has proven to have many uses. Knowledge of those uses can be very helpful. Vinegar can be used as a cleanser, as a cure, as a cooking agent. Its acidic quality is powerful for many uses in many ways. But if it gets left open to the contaminants of the world, it'll turn sour and cause other things that it is mixed with to go bad. If not properly kept. The reason I mention this vinegar is because it's powerful enough that when it touches other things or when it's near other things, they are influenced by it. If it's genuine, if the power is still available, when a real pearl is dropped down into vinegar, it'll cause that pearl to either shine or erode and almost dissolve. I encourage you today, don't let your pearl be mixed with vinegar. Don't let the luster of the love and the grace and the mercy of God get to such a place that it is mixed with the vinegar of the world, because it'll help others to sour, turn up their nose at the church, walk away from what they could have in God just by being influenced by the vinegar and its touch. Even the best of pearls are no match for the power of uncontrolled vinegar. Some of you are getting this, some of you are not. Even the best of pearls cannot stand up under the load without the help of the merchantman. By staying close to Him, by staying in very close proximity to Him, He keeps the vinegar away from our lives. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God will, with every temptation, make a way of escape. We don't have to become cultured pearls. We don't have to become rogues. We don't have to do as the rest of the world has done. We don't have to open up our arms without limit or without measure and say, come on in, unless you've been born again. Amen. Keep your testimony pure. Keep your life shining for Jesus. Keep that luster so great and so perfect and so real that others will look at you and say, there's something different about them. There's something different about their life. The Bible says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. The reason they were called Christians there was because there was something about that group of people that reminded them of Jesus. May I ask you today, what kind of pearl are you? What kind of pearl are you? Does the display that you are bringing to the world today reflect the luster of Jesus Christ in your life? Does the shine that you're making in the world today, does it reflect the love of God? Does it show to those outside these walls today how priceless you are to Him? You are the pearl of great price. Let the world know by your testimony, by your walk, by your talk, by all the things that you do, how precious you are in the sight of the merchant man. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What kind of price can be put on the soul of men, the soul of humanity? It cost the Lord Jesus everything that He had. He sold it. He sold everything that He had. He gave it all willingly, that He might buy you and everything there was belonged to Him. Stand to your feet, please. Brother Tim's coming. Our pastor is coming today. Can I ask you again, what kind of pearl are you? What kind of pearl are you? I said, preacher, why would you preach such a message as this to this crowd? Not because I wanted to, but because He said to. Probably looking in some of the greatest Christian faces that I've seen in my lifetime, right here, right now. But does everybody know that you're a Christian? Does everybody you come in contact know that you're a part of the church, the family of God, the born again, the ransomed, the redeemed? Does everybody know how precious you are in the sight of the Lord by what you do, where you go, what you say? What kind of pearl are you? Search your heart today. Are you real? Have you been born again? Do you know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven, going to live as long as God does? Or is there some doubt about it? Get that removed today and get it settled, get it fixed. Don't let another hour, don't let another day go by. If you're here today and you know you are saved, but your pearl is not shining like it ought to be, the merchant man has come by here again today with a rag of grace and mercy. And he said, if you'll confess your sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll take all that away and shine you up so that no matter who you come in contact with, they'll be able to see. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'll touch hearts and lives right now for the glory of God. Help somebody, we pray, to be honest with God, with honest with themselves. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and do that you'd have them to do. I pray especially, Father, if there's one here lost and undone without God, they're not a part of this church, not a part of the family of God. May this be the good hour, the good day when illumination comes to their heart and mind and they see themselves as God does today. Open up their understanding and by the goodness of God, lead them to an altar of prayer that they might receive the Lord, become a pearl in the family of God. Father, encourage somebody today that's a guilty distance from you, not as shining and not as lustrous as they once were, to come home to thee today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.